Our first speaker is Julian Williams, who's a former partner of PricewaterhouseCoopers. And he has a lived experience with mental health. And he's a newly established venture called Cordius, where he's challenging and supporting businesses to do more in this area. Please welcome Julian Williams.
Good morning. Raywin, thank you for inviting me up to speak. This is, could be a few tears in this, probably me. I'm going to tell you a story. There is a happy ending. There's some downs. There's a little bit of swearing, but just go with it and listen. I just want to take you through something I've been through in the last few years. But first, there's a question that I just want to pose to the group, if you can just put that up. How many of you have had a lived experience or know someone, a family or friend who have had the lived experience? You don't need to answer straight away, but I might just come back to that data at the end. It sort of surprised me as I went through the last few years what that answer was. So this is my story about my walk with the black dog. I didn't know what the black dog was. I didn't know what Norman was talking about 3 years ago. So I'll take you back to when it started sort of getting really real for me. It's the 23rd of September, 8 o'clock in the morning. I was sitting down, doing my shoes up. And I had a lovely Hong Kong suit, lovely Hong Kong shirt. We'd just spent 3 years overseas. And my suit was like a tent. I'd lost 17 kilos in about 4 months. I was bawling. I had tears dropping onto my shoes. And I was thinking in my head, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. What was I going to do? I was in this mode of something's not right. I've got to fix it. And then automatic pilot walked into my mind. I said, right, I'm just going to walk into my wife and just say, I need help. So it was all quite logical. I walked in. I don't know what I said because she can't remember. And I thought I'd said, I need help. Can you help me, please? We then sat down. She gave me a hug. It was the best hug I've ever had. We had it for about 5 minutes. I distinctly remember saying to her, I wanted to kill myself. And when we were talking about it the other day, she said, no, you didn't. I said, I did. I was blubbering so much, I was just ready to ask for help. And it was, I don't know, just one of those things that I never thought would happen to me. So then I asked the question, how did I get in that bloody position? Beautiful wife of 20-odd years, 3 lovely children, a fantastic career where I've worked overseas, just spent 3 years in Hong Kong. What's the problem? Those 3 years in Hong Kong were quite addictive in terms of freedoms, in terms of having a good life. When we left Hong Kong at the end of that 2013, we came back to Sydney and something wasn't right. I remember going to the office just around Christmas time to sign some documents and I physically found it really hard to walk into the building. This is somewhere I'd worked for 25 years. I had lots of friends in the office. I had to run out of the place within 5 minutes. I could not get out fast enough. And I thought, that's a bit weird. Just park that for a minute. Then later in the month, later in January, I went back to work. And again, it became increasingly difficult. I'd be sitting in the car park and I couldn't get out of the car. It was like walking in treacle, physically walking in treacle. I'd get upstairs and I'd be exhausted. I'd then go for long walks. I'd go for walks out of the office for hours on end between meetings and go and have a coffee in Pyrmont. And it sort of made me feel better. I can fight this. I can get this. I've got this beast, whatever it is. I lost the weight. My muscles atrophied. I had no energy. I lost all my joy. I'd do anything to get away from people. I wouldn't go to dinner parties. If I did, I'd sit there and I wouldn't talk. But no one noticed. My parents live in Canberra and we used to go down every couple of months to say hello. And I was sort of like, I'll get through this trip. But then at the end of the weekend, Mum said, you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I averted my eyes, didn't look at her. I couldn't. And then my sister said 10 minutes later, you sure you're all right? I said, I'm fine. And I could see my sister and my wife and my mum talking to each other. I thought, shit, they know something's wrong. I've got to get out of here. So we went back to Sydney. But no one else noticed. My dad didn't. My friends didn't. My kids couldn't care because they're too busy playing sport. And then I remember watching TV, and you might remember those Beyond Blue ads where that crazy masculine doctor was talking about mental health issues. So I was watching that show, that ad, thinking, that sounds quite familiar. Maybe that's me. No, can't be right. I'll deal with this. It's fine. The scariest bit was the suicidal thoughts. Now, when we came back from Hong Kong, we were living in Coogee. Our house was being tenanted by somebody else, so we rented a house on the cliffs at Coogee. I picked out the fence I was going to jump over. We'd go for walks in the morning across the Coogee Park with the kids, and I'd want to pass and pause and think, yep, that's the spot. How can someone think with a family like that, with the environment I had, to go, hang on, that's not a good idea, is it? They'd be better off with me not here. So that was really scary, and it was almost like watching a movie. Half my head was going, yep, that's the logical thing to do, and the other half of my head's going, what the F are you talking about? This is about 6 months. Still haven't told anybody else. Then it got really bad. I thought my wife was going to leave me. She jokes about it. She said, well, I've got to get a better offer than leaving you because of suicide. I was a failure at work. I was going to end up on the streets unemployed. I was useless. I was a failure. I was ruminating all these things. I also lost the feeling of joy. I lost the feeling of enjoying things. I lost my sense of smell. I lost my sense of wanting to eat. My sight started to deteriorate. The most memorable moment, and Are You OK is up on the board, and this is not a reflection on Are You OK, it's just a reflection on the environment we live in. I walked through the offices on the 14th of September. All the brochures are outside. I finally got to my office, sat down, and I was thinking, I just wish someone would fucking ask me if I was OK, because I probably would have gone, bleh! But nobody came in, not one person. The irony is, I've gone back to Are You OK now and said, mate, I want to be on your board, I want to help you do stuff. So it isn't a reflection on Are You OK, it's just a reflection on, it's not an advertising campaign, it's supposed to do something. So anyway, back to the 23rd of September, we went to the GP. I think I cried for about an hour. No, this is the family GP we've known for ages. He was phenomenal. And talking about sort of environments, that's one thing I was lucky I had. I had a family GP who knew this stuff. So he gave me some time off work. He then put me in front of a psychologist who, to my delight, looked like Helen Mirren. I won't mention her name because that's sort of professional privilege. But that was an amazing experience. And she said at the beginning, all you have to do in the next 2 weeks is don't think about anyone else other than yourself. That was the beginning of me climbing out of a hole. Because I guess what, the last 20 odd years, I probably haven't thought about anybody other than everybody else. There was a real learning in all this for me. And she'd actually said to Sarah, don't leave Julian's side, he's on suicide watch. And that was the first time Sarah really knew what was going on, even though I'd tried to tell her. My mum and dad came up, my mum sat at the foot of my bed and patted me like I was a 2-year-old child. I loved it, absolutely loved it. I wanted a hug from a dad, I didn't get it. I do now. We went through a lovely journey together over those next couple of years. You're probably wondering where PwC is and all this. They were nowhere, which was magic. They said, look, Jules, get better. Come back when you're ready. When you're ready, not when we need you to. So that was great. I could just leave it. But even catching up with friends I'd had for 20-odd years was really hard. So I gradually increased the circle of people I spoke to, went into the office, had coffees. You do get that bounce back, actually, don't you? There were some drugs. You get put on drugs, and most GPs think they're sort of qualified psychiatrists, so you get the drugs from the GP, but that didn't work. And my wife was starting to worry, and she said, oh, look, we probably need to think about putting you in a hospital because I just can't cope with this anymore. The kids are going back to school. So we went and looked at some hospitals. I started getting better pretty quickly. Some of those places scared the shit out of me. And I'm deadly serious. Now, these are highly reputed places, and you think this is like The Shining movie. It is really scary. But I ended up changing the drugs I was on, and I felt fantastic, I thought. And he said, no, you're actually just normal. I said, I haven't felt normal for a bloody long time. So that was an interesting part of the process. I thought I was Superman. Now, going back to this conversation about feeling joy, so what I want you to take away from this conversation is the next bit, not the first bit as much. I was in my grandmother's garden. We got a lovely farm down in Berrima, and I was just wandering around the rose garden. I walked up to a rose, and I smelt it. I burst into tears. This aroma went through my nose and I just woke up. I thought, this is amazing. I'm starting to live again. I've never smelt a rose like that before. And I had buzzes of sort of good service in shops and just lovely engagements with people that meant I feel like I'm back on this earth again. And then one day my wife said to me, Sarah, she said, well, why don't you go and do something different? You got this time off work. So I started learning guitar. And my guitar teacher, I've never done music before, and my guitar teacher was a little bit worried after about 3 months. He said, look, you've got no rhythm. I said, oh, thanks for that. I'm paying you $40 an hour and I bought a guitar off you. But it's been my barometer of whether I'm okay or not, because when I started playing my electric guitar the other day with You Look Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton, I thought, yeah, I'm getting better again. I'm feeling okay. But here's my Dalai Lama. This guy who's had a life of music was very centred, and we had these lovely conversations. But the other bit, I was doing something for me, which I'd never done before. So every Monday night, I was off to guitar lessons. Helen Mirren would start talking about getting back to work, and I'd say, well, no, I want to get sweaty. And eventually we got over the let's start talking about getting back to work, and we actually started talking to work about getting back to work. And I caught up with one of the senior partners, and we went through what's that return to work project going to look like. And he went through some very serious projects, and I was sitting there going, oh shit, I'm going to get depressed again. And then his last one was a societal relevance strategy for our consulting business, or their consulting business. I'm not there anymore. And my gut moved. For the first time in my life, my gut moved, and I thought, bugger this, I'm going to follow it. That has opened up a door to an amazing world, which has then led to getting that strategy done. We then talked to some fund managers about a social impact fund. We put a bid into the government for an innovation grant with a whole lot of academics. I was in a world that I didn't know about before, but I was buzzing. I was jumping into work. Now, none of those things came off. We didn't make a cent out of them. And there was sort of increasing pressure on me to go, actually, that's really good, Jules, but go back and do that day work stuff. And I don't know, I just didn't feel right. So I said to my wife, I think we're going to have a conversation in the office. I sort of feel where I want to go now, and it's not where I am. I feel like I'm alive, and I probably will resign PwC. When I did it, guess what happened the next day? I stopped biting my fingernails. I've bitten my fingernails my whole life. Now, that's not a PwC thing, but there's an anxiousness that was in me that was connected with that place, which doesn't exist anymore. So I've made a choice, and it's one of the best frigging things that's ever happened to me. I've been really, really lucky, and it's opened up a door for me about what I'd like to help other people achieve. And it's not about what one organisation can do. To me, it's about how we can all connect together and do something a little bit better. That's my story. Thank you for listening. And we might just get the information up on the screen now on that question. Amazing, isn't it? So everyone else has got a story too.